Investor Brand Network, IBN, a multifaceted communications organization engaged in connecting public companies to the investment community, is pleased to announce the launch of the Stock to Me podcast as part of its sustained audio communications effort to provide specialized content distribution via widespread syndication channels. The following Stock to Me podcast is an Investor Brand Network audio production and may feature a client partner of IBN. Investor Brand Network may have been compensated for the production of this podcast. Please be sure to read our entire disclaimer for full disclosure. Thank you, and here today is your host of the Stock to Me podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for joining us, as you just heard, on the Stock to Me podcast brought to you by the Investor Brand Network. We're speaking today with David Gemmett. David is the CEO of CISO Global Incorporated. David, welcome back. It's good to speak with you again.
Good to speak with you. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Listeners, in our last interview, we talked to David about the name change. So if you remember the company by Cerberus Cyber Sentinel Corporation, it has now rebranded itself into CISO Global Incorporated. CISO Global Incorporated, CISO, which happens to be the ticker symbol for the company as well. So David, let's start back in the beginning. What inspired you to start this company? And what are the company's core values and mission?
Well, I appreciate asking. It's always a pleasure to talk about the history of the company. Essentially, this company was founded at that period of time when there was 800,000 job openings in cyber. There's been zero jobless rate since 2011. And I knew it was only going to get a bigger number. And this year alone, there's 4 million job openings globally. And a lot of my friends and coworkers in the past had started cybersecurity companies, but they were very verticalized. So training, gap analysis, compliance, which is the baseline of cyber, and SOC services. And then some of the other folks that, as I was retired, started coming to me, I started reaching out to my friends to come help me. And by the end, I had 6 different organizations representing the different pillars of cyber helping me on projects. And so I asked them what their future was. And they really didn't know. And so I said, what if we came together and created a public entity so we never have to worry about the end? We can just continue to see the stock appreciate, do our jobs, and move forward. And we will have the control of the company so that we can actually help the clients out solving their cyber solution and helping them understand what a cyber threat is. Because at that period of time, before the pandemic, cyber was a black box and no one really understood it. And so if the audience thinks about it, it's when you have IT come in, they design systems and implement them. And then we secure them. What we prefer is securely design to implement. So that's what we really do, is we help our clients, which we call our partners, find their cyber issues, and then we help them remediate it and keep on top of it. Cybersecurity is a journey. It's not an endpoint. So we'll continue to work on the evolving threat and the threat matrix with our customers to help them improve and keep improving, and not just spending money on products, but actually helping them understand.
Yeah, that draws me right into my next question, so I appreciate that. So how do you differentiate yourself from some of the other cybersecurity companies in the market, and what unique services or products do you offer currently?
Well, thank you. So we go through, this company was set up specifically to bring talent in because it's hard to find on the street. So if you look at Microsoft, they bid for Mandy at $3.7 billion. They had thousands of recs open for security. Well, Google bought them the next week for $5.2 billion because it's easier to take down large organizations than find one or two at a time. And I call my competitors frenemies. There's not a week that goes by that one of our competitors calls and says, our bench is empty, do you have some to help us? So we're not only helping our clients, we're helping our competitors' clients as well, because it's going to take all of us coming together to make a more secure environment for customers. Because if you're on the internet, you're an ecosystem. Everyone touches you. So I liken it to the pandemic. We're trying to make sure that this pandemic, which is happening in cyber and growing, can be contained. And to do that, we have to work together. So uniquely, we have some, our experts have been in the business for 20, 25 years, 15, very seasoned within what they're doing. And some of them are ex-black hat hackers, and now they're white hat. So when we go to look at a company, we think about it from a hacker's perspective and how to improve their security posture.
Great way to look at it. Frenemies, peer group, not necessarily your direct competition because of how you've positioned yourself. So how does CISO Global Corporation approach cybersecurity risk management? And what steps does it take to protect its clients from all these cyber threats as it evolves?
Well, we constantly have a inner group that looks at the new threat, the threats that are out there and evolving. A lot of them are old threats that are just coming out in the way they use software. It's surprising me that, you know, some of the systems that are coming out, people are surprised and they're printing. It came out 10 years ago. They just modified the software. So we constantly are looking at what they're evolving, what they're working on, and essentially try to figure out how to combat it. But more importantly, teaching our clients about the threats, because the number one biggest problem with hacks is somebody clicking on something. And that may seem de minimis, right? It doesn't seem like much. But think about a castle with a moat, high walls, guards on the walls. How can someone get in? They go through a tunnel that somebody doesn't know about. And all of a sudden they're in and no one knows they're in. So the employees clicking an email has that same effect. They invite the hacker in without realizing it, and it download. They do what they call download a payload, so that it secretly starts reaching out and taking information and escalating their privileges to where they not only control your network, they're exfiltrating data that's pretty sensitive, customer data, PHI, the patient healthcare information. The problem is you can't stop a hacker if someone invites them in. And so training them to understand some of the threats that are there are pretty important, because that's the weakest link.
Well, very good. So when you look at CISO Global, how does CISO Global stay up to date? You know, with latest cybersecurity trends and threats, they're changing all the time. And what steps does it take to ensure that its team members, CISO Global's team members, have the necessary skills and knowledge to stay ahead of the curve?
Well, a lot of them have been in for a long time. And we've evolved with the threats. So once a week, we have a teach down, whether it be in South America, Europe, or America, to actually talk about the culture. I mean, talk about the evolving threats. And then we talk about how to mitigate them or possible solutions for it and what could be on the horizon. So we do that once a week for all of our engineers. And we have a group, again, full time, that are looking at those threats and making sure that we get there before they do. So if our solution to our, we can't save everyone, but our own customers, we can implement solutions that will combat that before it hits the market or starts to release from the dark net.
Well, very good. So what role does technology play in CISO Global's approach to cybersecurity, and how does the company leverage new and emerging technologies to improve its services and products?
That's a great question. There's some very solid products out there. There's some evolving products. And so, again, we have another group that looks at products specifically because each customer is different. For example, a customer who happens to have a beverage company, maybe doing $800 million, and they have delivery people delivering to the stores. They don't have the same needs to go buy, you know, expensive Palo Altos and the firewalls. The issue is each customer is different and their solutions are different. So we trademark cybersecurity as a culture, not a product, because really they have bought products. Some may be right-sized, some may be undersized, but we look to fill in that gap that may be existing and maybe it doesn't, but we're there to help make the products work properly together. And there are some really amazing partnerships. For example, one that we have standardized on, which we don't typically do, is KnowBefore, because it's a great training program and, you know, known Stu for a while, but they have the training product to help internally the clients and their internal people to understand through their training programs. But on standardizing the products, we offer our clients three different type of products that right-size them. We look for the solution. You wouldn't necessarily use a tank in the middle of a Pacific naval battle. That's kind of the issue, is sometimes people go in selling products, and that's what they sell. The solution is to make those products work congruously.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how you work with your clients to develop tailored cybersecurity solutions that meet each one of their unique needs.
Any good company that's out there, any company at all, we as an organization take it differently. We look holistically at the company, whether it be a local company, regional, national, international. We want to know what the information you're trying to protect. What's important to you? Who's connecting to your network? We look at all the different aspects of the company and understand the company. And that's why a lot of our clients are very sticky and they stay with us, because we're there as a consultative partner to help them understand what's important. Think of it as the fire station. They have the plans to every major building, and there's specific things they want to make sure they're protected. So if there is an issue, we know where to go to protect their information if they call us. What we really like to do is stay on guard and watch your networks and make sure that there doesn't become a threat, that we see the anomalies and stop them before they enter. But not everybody is willing to do that. But we look at the company, see where the ingress egress is, find out where the important information is, and best and most important is they may have 5 or 6 to 10 different products or cyber products. We make sure they work together. So sometimes they sell the product, install it, but they don't realize that they need to work with all the other products. And that's what we're really good at. And right sizing, again, is really important. We have to stay within the customer's budget, but we also need to make sure they're safe and secure.
Well, that is great to know for, I'm sure, your customers and all as well your company. But we're talking about, as you've pointed out several times in this interview, an environment that's constantly changing and adapting to what you're doing. So what are some of the biggest cybersecurity challenges that your organization and the organizations you partner with face today? And how does CISO Global help its clients overcome these challenges?
Well, it's twofold. Again, the talent shortage is very important to understand. Forrester and Gartner believe it's going to 12 million job openings in the next 3 years. A lot of your clients may be shocked, or some of the folks listening to this podcast, documented 6 trillion losses last year in 2021. We only spent 280 billion worldwide. That's a pretty big gap. The problem is the talent shortage and the wisdom. So I liken it to a doctor. Would you, if you went to the ER with an emergency and it was a life or death situation, say a heart attack, do you want your general physician, an intern, a resident, or someone who has 10 or 15 years of experience dealing with heart attacks to take care of it? You would want that person. So it takes time to understand, going from IT to security, to understand that that takes time to understand internally as a company what the threats are and keep on top of it. And then we inform our clients. The best thing is when our clients don't call, we're doing the right thing. That means there's not an issue. And we collaborate, as I said, frenemies. We talk about, there's a lot of different articles that are published and we send them to each other on the latest threats. But more importantly, most of the great cybersecurity companies have an internal group who specifically looks at what's emerging from the dark net. And the dark net is just not one location. Most people don't realize there's tens of thousands of different private networks that we call the dark net you have to be invited into. So, you know, that takes a lot of effort and it's a full-time job.
So, David, if you will, how does CISO Global Corporation approach incident response and recovery, and what steps does it take to minimize the impact of these cyber attacks on your clients' operations?
Well, hopefully, you know, we're monitoring a lot of our clients' networks. And if they choose not to have that service, we give them a sticker, because who do you call when you're breached? a lot of people are unaware of who to call. So it's almost like a fire department sticker. You put up there and you know, we have our clients do tabletop exercises. We encourage that to have a line of command and how to deal with it. And if it does happen, we tell our clients, if there's a breach or an anomaly that you're unsure of, and we're not monitoring your network, call us immediately. The reason being, minutes count. And when some of the clients call, they are previous friends of mine or previous clients from other companies I've had, they call and go, hey, we have an incumbent here. They can't find it. It's been 2 days. The first thing I do is, oh, that's not good. Number two, get our people there instantly. So we have 24 hours, 7x7, 7 days a week to make sure that if there is a breach, we have someone, multiple people on call to be able to jump in there within minutes. And if sometimes needed, we actually fly people out the night before, but we'll have somebody internally monitoring their network. And typically we try to mitigate it under an hour. So again, we think like hackers. A lot of people who do incident response learn from a book, but we think about how did they infiltrate it and what are they exfiltrating? What is the data coming out? And typically we can narrow it down fairly quickly. It's the remediation process. Never turn a computer off if you get hacked, because you're erasing a footprint. Number two, it may have what I call a time bomb. If it cannot communicate externally, even though you turn it off, it could kick off where it actually starts time bombs to encrypt all your servers. So we encourage them to leave it on. We'll go in and look at the logs, and we'll take a look at what actually was affected at the time. So we'll look for patient A, as we call it, and then we'll work back from there to remediate it. So we may find it within half an hour, but it may take a couple hours to make sure nothing will trip, because the last thing you want is to be out and try to restore your critical systems that could take weeks, months, year. I mean, look at the pipeline issue. There's a lot of different things in the news today that you need, that incident response person needs to think like a hacker, be able to infiltrate, follow the footprint, but most important, client needs to communicate and keep that information flowing back and forth. It's a constant communication with our engineers as well as their group internally, because it's critical to make sure nothing gets kicked off. And people find that confusing. They say, why would you let it keep going? Well, would you rather be hacked and have all your systems, or we track down each virus or malware or ransomware independently, verify it, and know what the actions will be if you turn it off? Plus, you deleted, if you turn it off, the logs disappear. And now you have no footprint, no trail, nothing from the bad guy.
That's a great point. I mean, a lot of that I did not know. I'm so glad we captured that in this interview with you. Well, this is my last question for you, David. And once again, we're speaking with David Jemmett, CEO of CISO Global Incorporated. What are your plans for future growth and expansion, and how is that going to impact the company's plan to stay ahead of the competition in an increasingly crowded cybersecurity market?
Again, I'll remind everyone listening, there is a huge chasm between $6 trillion and $280 billion spent. That's the economies. The difference is getting people educated. You can be an IT person and say, I'm a cybersecurity person, but unless you have the wisdom and expertise, whether it be compliance, whether it be an incident response, SOC services, so there will be some time. There could be 1,000 more companies of us, and it would not dent what's been happening today or curb it. That's why we work with our competitors as well as their clients and our clients to make sure we can try to stay ahead of the curve. But this company was specifically designed since inception to go out, find the best cyber talent in the industry and keep bringing them in company by company. Because not only do we get the highly talented individuals, we also get their client base, which then we can cross-sell in our ecosystem. Basically pollinate the client so they don't have to go to 5, 10, 15 different providers. They can come to us. We will continue to have this model through the next 5 years because it's not going to stop. and the way we get it, and that's why we've expanded to Europe. That's why we've expanded to Latin America and America. We'll continue to do this step by step, trying to find the best talent because there's a shortage. And we're helping try to create the NATO companies of cyber so that we can secure our digital borders, which are not safe today.
Well, what a great talk today with David Gemmett, CEO of CISO Global Incorporated, currently traded on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol CISO. David, I can't thank you enough for your time today and your insight into this fascinating cybersecurity market. Again, thanks so much for your time. We expect great things from you and your company, David. Thanks for making time for us today at Stock to Me Podcast.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
All right. For David Gemmett, this is Stuart Smith saying thanks so much for listening.
The following Stock to Me podcast was an Investor Brand Network audio production. IBN is a financial news and publishing company delivering a new generation of corporate communication solutions, including news aggregation and syndication, social communication, and enhanced news release services. Investor Brand Network may receive payments for corporate communications relations, as well as various press releases and social media solutions provided to its clients. IBN holds no shares of any company named on the IBN sites, brands, and/or podcasts. To be clear, all officers, directors, and independent contractors of Investor Brand Network hold zero positions in and do not trade or intend to trade the securities for their own accounts. This interview is not an offer or recommendation to buy or sell securities. Information in this broadcast is presented solely for informative purposes and is not intended to be or should it be construed as investment advice. As in all investments, investment in the featured company carries an investment risk. Listeners should review the company thoroughly with the registered investment advisor or registered stockbroker. This podcast audio interview by Investor Brand Network is not intended to be a complete study of the featured company or other companies mentioned. Information used and statements of fact have been obtained from featured company and other sources, but not verified nor guaranteed by Investor Brand Network as to completeness and accuracy. Such information is subject to change without notice. Please see our full disclaimers and disclosures at investorbrandnetwork.com.